Hello and welcome to the Upcast podcast series. This is podcast number 53, and I'm calling this an update on the Polaris contract vehicle. My name is Todd Hatherley. I'm the Director of Programming for Federal Publication Seminars, and we're a leader in federal government contract training and professional development for over 60 years. And every year, Federal Publication Seminars trains thousands of businesses, federal agencies, and individuals on the legal, regulatory compliance, and accounting nuances found in the federal regulations through nationwide classroom, online, and in-house sessions. This is just a small sampling of content you can find on our website and in our programs, whether you're in live or on demand or doing it from home. We have the content and breadth and experience and knowledge of anybody, anywhere. So please visit us at fedpubseminars.com for more information. And joining me today is Larry Allen from Allen Federal Business Services. He's been around the industry for a number of years, and he is extremely well knowledgeable about the GSA and MSA, or the MSA and the different contract vehicles coming out of GSA. So, Larry, first of all, we're going to talk a little bit about the history of where we're at with this Polaris contract. The judge had just announced that there's some interesting details behind the protests of the Polaris contract that was brought about, I think, earlier this year. And it stopped the award making of the Polaris contract by the GSA. And it has to do with, first of all, Section 876 of the NDAA regarding contracts for services acquired on an hourly rate basis without considering price as an evaluation factor. So kind of walk us through the history of that, and then I'll go from there.
Sure thing, Todd. I appreciate the opportunity to talk on this topic. Section 876 was originally envisioned by Congress as a way to enable the General Services Administration to award contracts, as you mentioned, without contract level pricing. This was something that GSA had really pushed for a number of years. Industry had pushed for it. Originally, the idea was to implement Section 876 maybe on part of the multiple award schedules program, which GSA believed it could not do after surveying customers on the schedules program, but they still wanted to use the Section 876 authority that Congress gave them. So we saw this happen a little bit with the OASIS contract, the current OASIS contract that originally had contract level pricing for it and then phased it out during the contract period. And now we had the Polaris contract, a new IT services contract for small businesses, where GSA wanted to implement what they believed was the Section 876 authority they had at the start of the program. There were a number of protests against the Polaris RFP. This was one of them. It went to the Court of Federal Claims, and the judge in this case said that, in her view, GSA had overstepped its boundaries in trying to apply Section 876 broadly across both hourly rate and non-hourly rate services, and did not support GSA's development of a deviation from the FAR rule that GSA believed provided them with justification and regulatory cover to proceed with both the hourly and non-hourly rate services.
So what has been the impact? As I read through the article you put together called Back to the Drawing Board on Polaris through your newsletter, the all current offers, which should have been awarded by now, and have to be thrown out. Is that correct?
They're going to have to be thrown out, Todd. The judge specifically said that GSA cannot move forward in awarding Polaris contracts until the agency makes some capability, some way to address contract level pricing, which means that there would have to be a new RFP if GSA elects to move forward from this point. The judge also talked a little bit about how the agency scored experience for mentor-protege agreements. So that's going to have to be tweaked as well. Of course, the non-price factor is the main one, but there was another thing that GSA is going to have to change, and that is on how they evaluate past experience for mentor-protege teams. So these are going to be substantial changes. They're going to cause delays, even in the event that GSA elects to move forward with a new round of players or whatever it is we're going to call it. And all of the existing offers that have been in and were under consideration and on which companies had spent a substantial amount of money, they're all going to have to be taken back and redone.
Well, is there a timeline for this at all, or is it still a little bit early to figure out what GSA will do?
Todd, I think that's really the central question here. And we have to remember that Polaris itself was a replacement for the failed Alliant 2 small business contract. GSA had put Alliant 2 unrestricted in place. They wanted to do a small business companion contract. That never got off the ground. It was sunk by its own protests. GSA went back to the drawing board and came up with Polaris that had some neat new features to it and was going to be something that caught a wide swath of small businesses. But now we have to ask, I think it's worth asking, GSA is going to have to consider whether they have the time and resources to try a third time to put in place a broad-based, small business-focused IT services GWAC, or whether they have sufficient IT contract coverage with what's now Alliant 2, will soon be Alliant 3, with their VETS contract and with the third version of the 8A STARS program, which itself is very popular. So where we are right now, I think, is GSA is going to have to come up with a business case, pro or con, on why they believe that they should move forward with whatever you call it, Polaris 2? I don't know. My feeling is that we've cost small businesses a lot of money, both with preparing Alliant 2 small business offers, and now with preparing Polaris offers. And those small businesses, that's sunk cost, Todd. They're not going to ever see a dime back on either one of those investments. And from an industry perspective, you know, they've got to be a little chastened and wonder what's going on here. From a GSA perspective, look, even though they're paying with taxpayer money, they have to allocate their resources in a common sense way as well. They can't be all things to all people. They are running a very tight deadline on Alliant 3. I'm not sure that they can afford to be distracted by doing another small business GWAC right now, because Alliant 3 for that IT category team has to be the priority. That's a big contract. Alliant 2 has been extremely popular. And GSA is going to have to anticipate protests with Alliant 3. So I think it's a very open question as to whether or not GSA will move forward with a new catch-all small business IT services GWAC. But if they were to ask me, I would tell them, focus on Alliant 3. You've already got a couple of other smaller programs that meet small business needs. You can't get out of the parking lot due to protests. Move on to the next thing.
Right. Right. Drop it and forget it.
Right.
Interesting that the policy of the last three presidential administrations has been on small business and government contracting. They've been trying to get these small businesses involved in the government contract process. You'd think that there'd be somebody that'd say, enough, we're going forward with this. Let's do it and get it done and get a new contract. I understand it's been 8 years since there's been a new GWAC. Is that correct?
It's been at least that long since the original Alliant 1 small business contract expired, Todd. And that contract is totally expired right now. And You can't do anything new with that. You're coming up to the being able to, you're going to have to close out any open work you have under that contract. So GSA is going to be left with the Vets 100 contract and the 8A Stars 3 as their two principal small business IT, IDIQ contracts. And you're right. I think one of the things that this situation shows is the government tends to look at the term small business as a monolithic entity, but mm-hmm. it's not. Clearly, there aren't too many winners in this solution, Todd, but there are a lot of losers. The losers, ironically, include the companies that filed the protests. That's particularly true if GSA elects not to move forward with a third try. And the other losers are the small businesses that wanted to do business via this contract vehicle, had sunk a lot of time and money into planning for it, and now they're not going to see anything on that investment. So in this case, there are protests that ultimately hurt the small businesses that they were trying to maybe help in some way. I think it's a cautionary tale. I'm usually a person, Todd, that says, as long as you've got a valid reason to file a protest, go for it. I'm not a big frivolous protest fan, but as long as you've got some underlying legitimate reason, it's fine to file a protest. But I think that small businesses are going to have to ask themselves just how aggressive they want to be with future protests on IDIQ contracts, because you're kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face, particularly if GSA elects not to move forward with another iteration.
Makes total sense. So going forward, as a small business concern, what's your advice?
Well, my advice to small business concerns, in addition to thinking twice about protesting, because, yeah. Look, I think the idea behind a protest is you want to fix the procurement, but keep in mind the agency has the ability to withdraw the procurement too if they feel like they can't address all the protests. There's nothing mandatory that says they have to have a small business IT GWAC. So you always have to remember who has the trump card here in this deck, and it's not the contractor. The other thing I would say to small business contractors is, there are other ways to sell to the government. The GSA Schedules program is an extremely popular small business contract vehicle. Small businesses not only make up the majority of those contractors, but they account for about a third of the prime contractor sales. So it's a very favorable program on balance to small firms. And I think you ought to look for other ways to get on contracts held by others. If you don't have access to an 8A or Vets 100, maybe talking to somebody that does could be a thing. The other avenues to look at are going to be that Alliant 3 contract that's coming down the road for everybody. Think about whether or not the GSA is so far setting the bar very high for that contract, Todd. So if you're a small business, you're definitely going to have to team up with somebody. But there are plenty of other avenues open through which you can conduct business as a small business IT contractor. Polaris certainly would have been a great thing to have, and I think there was a need for it, but it's not there. And even if GSA decided today that they were going to move forward with a third iteration, look, these things take at least 18 to 24 months to put into place, so you're not going to get one of these contracts anytime soon, even if GSA decides to move ahead. So you better find other lanes in which you can conduct your business in the meantime.
Larry, there's been a lot of talk about increasing small business participation within federal government contracting. Obviously, Polaris is a failed one, but the government keeps trying to get more contractors, more small businesses involved. And they're really looking at a couple very key segments of that small business to bring in. Is that right?
That's right, Todd. First of all, we have the administration's well-known plan to substantially increase business to small disadvantaged businesses. The administration wants to increase small disadvantaged business awards by more than double between now and 2025. And we've already seen agencies make some significant strides. We started seeing the numbers go up in FY22, and I think we're going to see that trend continue in the current fiscal year. So if you're a small disadvantaged business or you're thinking about partnering with a small firm, you might want to look for one of these companies to do business with, because not only is that a goal of the administration, it actually appears to be something that a lot of agencies are already executing on in terms of small disadvantaged business. Of course, the next question becomes, well, what about other small businesses? What about HUBZone, women-owned, things of that nature? We haven't seen an increase, Todd, in the government's overall 23% small business use goal, but I know that's something that members of Congress are considering increasing. On paper, we've met the small business contracting goal for a number of years now at 23%. People might want to see that raised to 25%. Particularly inside that, we know that there's a lot of congressional attention being paid to women-owned business goals. And that's one area, Todd, that the government has consistently fallen short in, which therefore, it's not surprising you get a lot of congressional scrutiny. Anytime you don't meet your goals, Congress is happy to provide oversight. But women-owned businesses is the next area that I think we'll start to see some real top-level attention paid to, and I would expect those prime contract dollars to increase. So while we didn't get Polaris, I think there's some reason to be optimistic overall. Right. In the small business federal contract world, particularly if you have the time and resources sufficient to dedicate to this market.
And we're coming up to the final quarter of the fiscal year for the federal government, and this is where they spend the money. So will some of that focus be for this, or are we looking for the next into the next fiscal year for bigger goals?
Oh, no, Todd, we're definitely going to see small business use, particularly small disadvantaged business use, accelerate in the fourth quarter. When we get into the fourth quarter, contracting officers are looking for easy ways to make acquisition decisions. And while one of those ways is certainly by using standing IDIQ contracts that we started off talking about today, another is being able to make small business set-aside awards, things that not only enable an agency to meet its small business use goals, but can be acquisitions done very quickly with minimal competition, given specific circumstances with no competition. So I definitely expect to see small business use go up in the fourth quarter for both of those reasons, both ease of use and to ensure that agencies meet their goals.
Looking forward to see what does happen in the fourth quarter here. It's kind of like the Kentucky Derby, right? We're coming around the stretch. So
and down the stretch they come, Todd.
Yes. That's right. Exactly. So we'll see what that last stretch looks like coming up here in a very short while, and how the year will finish out. Thank you, Larry, for being part of this. Larry Allen of Allen Federal Business Services. He's also an instructor for us. He does teach on a lot of things on small business, plus federal supply schedules. So you can see him and his bio on our website. But if somebody wants to get a hold of you right now, Larry, how would they do so?
Todd, they can drop me an email. I'm happy to get email from people. I'm lallen@allenfederal.com.
And Larry keeps his eye on what's going on, and especially in this area. So if you ever need some advice or consulting in your small business, this is the gentleman to go to. Thanks again, Larry. As always, if you have topics you want us to cover in a podcast, please send me a note, Todd@FedPubSeminars. Until next time, stay safe, keep your distance,